Hello there. Get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by the makers of the new Sure Mix Crystal. Say, it's a little early to be talking about holiday gifts, but I've got a special purpose in bringing that up right now, and it's this. There's a swell little holiday gift waiting for you. A gift that'll mean lots of pleasure and excitement at your house, because it's Crisco's new recipe for holiday cookies. That's right, holiday cookies. All so tasty and tempting, it'll be a case of now you see them, now you don't. Won't your folks know where they are? And listen, the big news about these Crisco cookies is that you get three different varieties, all from the same batter. One magical batter makes about 50 tasty Crisco cookies in three festive varieties. Why, wait till you taste one of the rich chocolate fudge squares with the pecans. Or try the coconut fruit macaroons. Well, my favorites happen to be the frosted mincemeat bars. They've got spicy, rich mincemeat inside and frosting on top, too. And these cookies are so easy to make. There's no rolling out or chilling of your dough. Just spread in a pan and bake. Then cut into squares, bars, or diamond shapes. And say, don't forget these Crisco holiday cookies for gift packages. What could be a more welcome remembrance for the boys you know who'll spend their holidays in the service? Maybe your own son or a brother is in the Army or Navy. Believe me, they'd give a whoop and a holler of joy at the sight of these swell Crisco cookies. So go to your store today and look for the Crisco display card. Then help yourself to the free recipe attached. If by any chance your dealer hasn't received his recipes yet, he will very shortly. Now, with your Crisco cookie recipe, we've included a couple of other tasty surprises, too. A recipe for tender, spicy mincemeat cupcakes. And one for rich, golden pumpkin pie with Crisco's amazing surefire method for flaky, tender pie crust. And remember, stock up with pure, all-vegetable Crisco for your holiday baking. Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house, halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Gook all by himself. Mr. Gook is at the telephone, chatting with his friend and fellow office worker, Ike Niesuffer. Listen.
No, now you take plant 17 there in Dubuque, Iowa. Seems they have a foreman, an assistant foreman, and an assistant foreman's helper. Sort of a boss, straw boss, and sub-straw boss set up. Just a second, Ike. What's the matter up there?
Ask Mom where my pants are.
Mom's outdoors.
I can't find my pants.
Well, I'm very sad, but I don't see how I can be of any assistance. Please don't holler anymore.
What?
I say please don't holler anymore. I'm talking on the telephone. Pardon the delay, Ike. Where were we? Oh, Well, like I told you, they handle their boxing department situation pretty much like we do.
Me?
That's right.
Ben?
Just a second, Ike. I'm on the phone, kiddo.
Ruthie?
Ike, they suffer.
Oh.
My apologies again, Ike. Yeah. Okay. Goodbye.
What's on his mind?
Nothing much. Just wanted to talk some shop.
Where's Willie?
Upstairs. Kiddo, I have grave tidings.
How you mean?
Bad news. Sit down here beside me so you won't be in danger of falling heavily to the floor. When you went outside a while ago, Hank Gook
got telephoned. Well, I got bad news myself.
Huh?
Stuck my neck out into the middle of next week.
How so?
Well, go ahead with what you started to tell.
Hank Gutstop horned in on the ride to Shinori.
Oh.
Say, I couldn't help it. Circumstances so adjusted themselves, I was powerless to prevent...
Well, hey, don't make this any more complicated than it is already.
Is it complicated already?
Horrible.
Seems like we never arranged to go riding with the stem bottoms, but what misery and heartbreak enter into the picture.
I know.
Makes a guy a little tired.
Yeah.
In the case of Hank Gustav, though, I was powerless to...
Oh, no. Hank ain't even acquainted with Fred and Ruthie. Beside that, he knows I wouldn't any more ride in the same automobile with him than I'd choke Billy Patterson. You didn't invite him.
I'll explain. Hank was in the office this afternoon and said something about getting together this evening to do some work on the lodge ritual. We got a notice from headquarters the other day that we're supposed to make some revisions. So Hank inquired about my plans for tonight. I told him we had accepted an invitation to take a spin.
What's the matter up there?
I can't find my pants.
Well, I haven't got them down here.
Where are they?
Well, how should I know? Look around.
I have looked around. Looked in my clothes closet, my dresser drawer, and all over.
Well, they're bound to be up there someplace. Don't be so helpless. Goodness.
Kiddo, the thing of the
day. I don't know what this is all about, but I do know Hank Upstop's not going to go riding in Fred and Ruthie's automobile.
Will you let me clarify the matter? Circumstances have so arranged themselves.
Let me clarify the matter once. Charlie Razorscums decided to let Fred tow that old busted-in car of his to Chenoa.
What?
When I was out and back just now, I met Charlie, and he said Miss Razorscum had mentioned at the supper table Mr. and Ms. Gook were automobiling up to Chenoa after supper. Wanted to know if it'd be all right if he hitched his car on behind with some rope and come along.
What's the idea?
He needs parts for his machine, and there's places in Chenoa where he can get parts. See, they don't manufacture parts for his kind of auto anymore. Quit making them in the year 1921. But Charlie found out about this junkyard in Chenoa and decided if he ever got an opportunity...
What's the matter with that hyena up there?
I don't know.
Cut out the screaming, doorknob. This ain't the CNA roundhouse.
I can't find my pants.
Where's his pants?
I sent him to Detroit, Michigan, parcel post.
What'd you do with him after you took him off?
What?
What did you do with him after you took him off?
I never had them on. My new pants. Mom told me to wear my new pants to go ride with Mr. and Miss Timbottom, and I can't locate them anyplace. Look at my clothes closet, my dresser drawer.
Probably haven't even been taken out of the suit box yet. Tell him to look for the suit box.
Look for the suit box.
What am I going to do if I get
it? Look for the suit box.
What?
Your mother says your new pants probably haven't been removed from the suit box yet. Look for the suit box.
How's the suit box anyplace?
Well, hunt for it and quit the hollering.
If it was a snake and bit his head off.
Did you tell Charlie it was all right for him to hitch on behind Fred's car?
Oh, I couldn't tell him it wasn't all right. He said he'd been trying to find a way to haul his machine to Chenoa for a long time. He took it for granted any friends of ours would be delighted to accommodate him.
Fred won't stand for it, Sage.
Oh, he'll scream like a panther.
He'll scream like nine panthers. Chenoa's 20 miles from here. He won't tug that old lawnmower of Razorscum's 20 miles.
I couldn't have made any objections if I tried. Charlie talked so fast I couldn't get a word in edgeways. Took it for granted we'd be happy to oblige. Stood there in the alley with his face just beaming. I need 2 dozen new parts for my car, Miss Gokey says, and this Chenoa junkyard's got everything I want. Your friends can give me a hitch to Chenoa, and me and the mechanics can rummage around old model machines and locate every part I require.
Don't he appreciate the magnitude of the favor he's asking?
Don't even act like he considers it a favor. He's perfectly satisfied any friends of ours would jump at the chance to help him out.
The motor in Fred's old bus can hardly pull the weight it's got now. It'll never stand up under an additional pull. Besides, Fred's particular about his car. Acts like an old woman. If he sees a scratch on the fender, he almost swoons away. And if anybody drops a cigar ash on the cushion, he's a raging tiger. I don't want to be the guy that breaks the news that he's going to tow a broken-down wreck to Chenoa. I don't want to be...
Oh, my. Rush, for mercy's sake.
I can't find it, our pants.
Have you looked for the suit box?
Every place.
Well, where's some other pants? I'm going
to wear my new one.
Have you looked on the floor underneath my dresser?
Oh.
Well, look. You're not a little helpless baby. Monstrous great big boy in high school.
Hank Goodstop's going to meet us out by the curbing at 7 o'clock.
No, he's not either.
Well, let me explain the circumstances.
I don't want to hear any explanations. You appreciate I can't abide Hank Goodstop. I wouldn't any more go auto-riding with him than I'd throw my shoes over the People's Bank building. Why, I've told Ruthie all about Hank Goodstop. Her tongue would hang out along the street to Oakland Avenue if I'd said we'd invited Hank Gustop to crawl in her automobile.
It wasn't
and
a matter
to...
of inviting him,
I
say.
I don't care.
It's a matter of human decency.
Any human decency Hank Gustop's got you.
Listen, Hank's got a chance for a job in Chenoa. He telephoned while you were out back with Razorscum. He called and said he remembered me telling them we were motoring up Route 66 tonight and asked if he couldn't squeeze in with us. Said he'd had a chance to snag a job. You can't cheat a guy out of that, say. Wouldn't be human.
Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Stembottom have graciously invited us to take a spin in their pleasure car. Can we calmly inform them we've asked the most notorious no-good-in-town to come along?
Hank has been shiftless in the past, I admit it. But if you could have heard his voice over the phone a minute ago, full of happy ambition and commendable ecstasy over the thought of a job, you'd have urged him yourself to join us. The guy's got an opportunity to work, and he's anxious to grab it.
Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Stembottom invite us to take a spin in their pleasure car, and we ask the biggest loafer in town to come along.
All right. How about this? Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Stembottom invite us to take a spin in their pleasure car, and we ask a big slob to hitch a wrecked automobile on behind. And Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Stembottom will tow him 20 miles.
I already explained that wasn't my fault. Charlie Ranger's got...
Oh, what in thunder's eating you?
I can't find my band.
I think our young son had best be subjected to some form of corporeal punishment.
Mom, they're in the corner needs a treasure. They're not in the corner needs a treasure. They're not any place.
What would you advise doing in this case?
Have you looked in the attic, Wade? Have you looked in the... Have you looked in the attic, Wade?
No.
Have you looked on the shelves of the hall closet?
No.
Well, look. He wears me out to where I can't even get mad.
About Hank, kiddo, you can't turn him down. Wouldn't you feel rotten if you were the means of preventing a fellow human being from obtaining a job? Why, holy smoke, you realize there's a job in Chenoa, and we'll be able to take him to Chenoa and be instrumental.
I'll answer it.
Why, Fred and Ruthie will understand. I agree with you. Hank isn't any society fop. Maybe
Hello.
He don't wear socks.
Oh, yes, lady. Sure we are. You bet. Oh, really? I see. Well, take your time. We'll be ready whenever you drive up. Sure. All right, Ruthie. Tell Fred to take his time and not hurry on account of us. Sure. All right, lady. Goodbye. You'll be a little late. Fred has to fix a flat tire.
Why didn't you tell her?
Tell her.
About Hank Goodstop and Charlie Razor's gun. Why didn't you?
Never had the nerve.
Shucks.
Just never had the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
She said Fred was fixing the flat tire. Means he'd be touchier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, we give Mr. Razorscum across the alley permission to hitch his automobile on behind yours. He wants to be pulled to Chenoa.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, can you squeeze over and make room for this gentleman? He's Mr. Hank Gutstop that spends all his time sleeping on the baggage trucks over at the Illinois Central Station.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to break the news to Fred? Kiddo, how are you going to break the news to Fred?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Mom!
I haven't the slightest idea.
Mom! I can't find my pants!
Say it.
Hmm?
He can't find his pants.
Which concludes another brief interlude of that small house halfway up in the next block. But be sure to come along when we visit Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Herlihy speaking.
Do you want your stockings to wear and wear and wear? Well, I'll tell you what it takes. Ivory Flakes, nightly care with Ivory Flakes helps end runners. Mm-hmm. If it's longer wear that interests you, well, nighttime is the right time to pick up that pair of stockings you've been wearing all day and douse them in those pure suds of new Ivory Flakes. Don't let your stockings pile up. Remember, every night, lukewarm water and new Ivory Flakes.
That's what hundreds of women did when they tested many leading brands of silk stockings for us. And you should see the long stocking wear they got. Listen, women who tested Lovely Sheer McCallum stockings for us got 276 hours of wear, 309 hours, even more than 330 hours of hard wear from a single pair of stockings. Yes, they followed the stocking care 9 out of 10 leading makers of famous stockings advise. Nightly washing with new double-quick Ivory Flakes.
So, help stop runs before they start. Now take heart, do your part. Ivory Flakes each night are smart. Well, that way, I promise you, you'll help your stockings to wear and wear and wear.